I love singing those glorias. It's what the angels sang. Glory to God in the highest. Technically, we don't even know for sure if the angels actually sang. It says they praised God, but whatever it sounds like, angels praising God, it must sound almost as beautiful as it is to sing those glorias every year. I don't know how Christmas season's going for each one of you. Maybe it's humming along smoothly. Maybe it's going very well. Maybe it's not going so well. Maybe you're distressed. Or maybe you're confused or exhausted or anxious or maybe just distracted. Christmas is the greatest thing we can celebrate, but our celebrations often don't fully live up to our hopes and expectations. Tonight, I have just one simple message for us to consider together, and it's remember His name. Remember His name. It was read earlier, Matthew 1. Matthew's account of when the angel visited Joseph. Now, when the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We've tried to be thoughtful with the naming of our children. Our oldest daughter's middle name means grace, and that's that fits her. That's that fits how Aaliyah's one of the ways Aaliyah brings life to our home. And our second daughter, her middle name is Joy. Today is her birthday, and Joy very well encapsulates what she brings to our home also. Our son's middle name means warrior or war, and it wasn't too long ago that he was spending hours every week making an arsenal of weapons in order to outfit every boy in this church with a sword or a handful of swords. We finally had to put an end to that. So apparently his middle name fits. And so when then we were expecting our fourth child a year ago, we were expecting her a year ago, she came 6 months ago, we were thinking, all right, well, we better get this right. We've got, there's precedent here, and you know, our home can feel chaotic sometimes, so we decided, you know what, let's name her. Her middle name means peace. Now, so far it hasn't stuck. She has brought anything but peace to our home at this point. So, I don't know. You can pray for us. And you can, I don't know, maybe in the long term, I guess. We'll see, I guess. Names in the Bible are significant. Abram's name, right, we start with his name meaning exalted father, and then God changes his name to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. His grandson, Jacob, his name means he cheats, and Jacob was a cheater. You go on and on about names that fit. And the name that the angel gives Joseph to name his son here is no accident. She will bear a son, the angel says, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. The name Jesus In English, is the Greek name is Jesus. It comes from an Aramaic variation of the Hebrew name Joshua or Yeshua. There's a lot of names that have the yah or yeh sound in Hebrew in the Jewish names. It's because it's connected to the covenant name of God. So, for example, Judah or Yehuda means praise God or may God be praised. So, just like the name Juan in Spanish, is the Spanish form of the English name John, Jesus is the English form of the Hebrew name Joshua. And so when Joseph heard the angel say he was to call his son Joshua, it was a signal and it was a connection back to this figure in the Old Testament. The name Joshua means the Lord saves, or maybe even more literally, the Lord is salvation. And the first time we read the name Joshua, the first thing we hear about Joshua in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, is after the Israelites have left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, but before they get to Mount Sinai, they're attacked by this terrifying enemy, the Amalekites, and Moses appoints Joshua to lead the battle against the Amalekites. This is that famous battle where they had to hold Moses' arms up. And so the first time we see and meet Joshua, he's introduced to us as a warrior, as this military leader. He comes up again in the book of Numbers when 12 men, one from each tribe, is tasked with going and spying out the promised land. And they all come back, and if you remember, 10 have the bad report, but two of them have the positive report. Caleb and Joshua both have a report that says we can trust God, but the 10, of course, say that it's futile because they say we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers to the people that they saw in Canaan. In Deuteronomy 18, Moses promises that the Lord will raise up a prophet like himself to speak God's word to the people. We just looked at this on Sunday, if you were here. But the one who immediately fulfilled that role of being a prophet like Moses was Joshua. He was the one who immediately succeeded the great Moses. And just as the Lord led his people through Moses, so he led his people through Joshua. And just as he spoke to his people through Moses, so he spoke to his people through Joshua. And quite famously, the Lord says to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8, says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Which leads to the book of the Bible that's named after Joshua. And in that book, we read about how Joshua led God's people out of the wilderness into the promised land. He led them to defeat their enemies. And he, under his leadership, he established peace in this land that was flowing with milk and honey, this place that was described like the Garden of Eden. So Joshua, in the book of Joshua, leads God's people to the place in the land of rest. So Joshua is this warrior, this prophet, this conqueror, this leader. But anyone who knows the story of the Old Testament knows that all these victories and all this peace that Joshua achieved, it didn't last. Israel's immediate problems were solved, but there were deeper problems that remained. Their immediate enemies were conquered, but their greater enemy remained. The Lord had used Joshua to bring salvation, as his name signifies, but a greater salvation was needed, and therefore a greater Joshua was needed. So as physical, embodied creatures like we are, we can often feel like we feel like our biggest problems are the ones that appear to our senses, or that we're immediately aware of through our physical senses. And there's certainly no reason to understate the difficulties that we face as physical embodied creatures. Bodies that malfunction and decay, and thoughts and emotions that are unstable, and relationships that are difficult, and circumstances that make it feel like you're in a desert wilderness, maybe even surrounded by enemies. But after the first Joshua came, all the things like that still remain. All the things that appear to our physical senses still remain. It turns out that spiritual problems are greater than physical problems, and spiritual enemies are greater than physical enemies. There's long been debate about when exactly Jesus was born, like when in the calendar. It's often characterized as taking place in the winter, in this time of year. And regardless of whether he was born in literal winter, there is no doubt that he was born in spiritual winter. I love Christina Rossetti's 19th century poem, In the Bleak Midwinter. Many of you are probably familiar with it. But she wrote, "In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long ago." She went on to write, "Our God, heaven cannot hold him, nor the earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ." That so well describes the world that we live in. It's not a world with problems that can be solved simply with something like a pill. It's a world that's hard as iron, and it's not physically hard, it's spiritually hard. It's like living in a place where we know that there is life-giving water, but it's frozen over. In terms of human sin and suffering, it's snow on snow on snow on snow. That's the world that Jesus came into. In a bleak midwinter, he came to live up to his name. Joshua, the Lord is salvation. Because Joshua spoke God's word to God's people, but Jesus was God's word to God's people. And while Joshua exercised dominion, he did achieve dominion over the Canaanites, Jesus came and exercised dominion over spiritual principalities and powers. And while Joshua defeated the Amalekites with God's help, Jesus came to defeat sin and death. Joshua led God's people into the promised land, but Jesus came to lead God's people to eternal and everlasting rest. This is exactly what the angel tells Joseph. He is to call his son Jesus, Joshua, because he will save his people from their sins. There are still signs of winter everywhere in our lives, circumstances that are difficult, enemies that still threaten us. There is still suffering and death, but the greater Joshua has come and he has conquered and addressed our biggest problem, which is sin. All of our anxieties, all of our troubles, all of our restlessness traces back to the enemy of sin. Sin is any violation of the law of God. And all of our problems stem from the fact that we are sinners. It's sin that leaves us guilty before God. It's sin that separates us from God, not to mention from one another. It's sin that leaves us vulnerable to temptation, and it's sin that leaves us susceptible to the accusations of the evil one. So we need a greater Joshua. We need Jesus, whose life supplies the righteousness we lack, and whose death satisfies the penalty that we owe, and whose resurrection demonstrates his victory over all of our enemies. That's why there is no greater name than Jesus, and no better news than what the angel announced. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In the Old Testament, God promised Joshua that he would not leave him or forsake him. But in the New Testament, Joshua, Jesus, promises us that he will never leave or forsake us. So we all know his name. You've all heard his name, but remember what his name means. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the incarnation. We thank you for the name that Joseph was told to give his son. Father, we thank you that because Jesus, the greater Joshua, came, we can be saved from our sins. We thank you that he is a savior and a deliverer and a conqueror and a leader and a warrior who not only fights for us, but still today fights with us. Father, so many know the name Jesus, but so many don't know what it means, and we so often forget. Father, would you grant us this evening to remember and to embrace why Jesus was born, to save us from our sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.